The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club.
Get ready for some hot takes, off-the-wall topics, and candid conversations with current and former players. It's time for Eat 'Em Up with Emerson Edom.
Welcome back to another epi of Eat 'Em Up, and boy, we have an absolute banger for this epi. We're joined by Puck Empire's Panos. Now, for the listeners out there, how do you correctly say your last name, Panos?
Mavridis.
Mavridis. Okay, and let's get right to it. Puck Empire has 153K followers, 153,000 and counting. If you don't follow Puck Empire, first off, not sure if you can call yourself a hockey fan. If you don't, start following Puck Empire. It's lights out. Where does Puck Empire, Panos, rank among just hockey content accounts?
Well, I personally think I'm the best. I think I cover everything from NHL to like international scores to like, you know, every league in the world. That's my goal, is basically just to give everybody a platform from every country to help grow the game. You know, I think it's sick that there's different countries playing that most people have never heard of. So for me, that's just my goal with the page, is to kind of show as much hockey as possible on my platform.
And where does it rank as far as following, just amongst the landscape, other just hockey content following? I mean, are you up there? Do you really pay attention to that?
I used to. I don't really anymore, but I think there are a couple ahead of me. NHL Discussion has been there for a long while now. And
how many followers do they have?
I think they're in the 300s.
Okay. And then Hockey Collective, you're just finished.
They're like 400 and something too.
You're on such a good track, and you just continue this momentum, I feel like, and we'll keep getting into it here. What's up with that traction? It seems as if anything that you put out, I don't remember a post that you put out. It's like less than 2,000 likes. And I mean, you got the perfect combination of a ton of posts. I mean, you're just, you continue to bang them out and you're getting a lot of likes per post. I mean, how do you look into it? Do you look into that? Do you kind of, you just post whatever, you don't look at stats or algorithms? Can you touch on that?
Like I used to a lot. I used to care a lot about that stuff. And I feel like if you over obsess about it, it's almost going to mess it up. You know, I think if you're running something like this, you have to have a passion for it. So that's why I just post whatever I do, whatever I, you know, enjoy. And the results have come, you know, it's like, it's really good. I'm lucky. I've got a good fan base as well, follower base. So I enjoy doing it.
You also have Blitz Empire. It's kind of what, the brother account, sister account, whatever you want to call it. But that tracks breaking news from a NFL standpoint. I'm a huge Raiders fan, Panos. How are my Raiders looking for just the insight that you have?
They're looking. I mean, they need a QBA.
We need more than that. But yeah, I just, things were going fine, and then you wanted to blow it up, and then you just, sometimes you blow it up trying to, you know, get that next level, but it could hurt you too. And I just feel like since we just blew it up and not kind of built around what we had. I mean, we were a playoff team not too long ago. Derek Carr, before he got injured, was had a MVP type season, and look, we just decided to blow it up. So anyway, I can go on and on, but I'm gonna keep it short. You also have you used to have a basketball account. Is that no longer?
It is no longer. I mean, I would love to bring it back, but for me personally, like, I with the Blitz Empire, it makes it easier to run because I also have people running that with me, so it makes it easier to run that account, whereas Puck Empire I run full-time myself only. So to be able to run Jumper Empire, I feel like we would need to have another person with us. But I do like it. I love basketball as well, along with football and hockey, so I do want to keep that basketball running, but as of now it's kind of inactive.
Cash flow. You can't employ them all, right? Hey, how'd you get into hockey?
So I was born in Greece, which hockey is not a hockey hotbed there. You know, it's not a hockey hotbed country. And I was born there. I moved here when I was like two. My parents have no clue what hockey is, nothing like that. I grew up on like the rougher side of the city. So, you know, we didn't have money as well. And then we stayed here for a while. We ended up moving to a nicer part and had more money as well. As you know, hockey is an expensive sport. And at my school, everyone was playing hockey. So I was like, okay, I kind of want to learn how to do this. Got on the ice, fell many times. I had to practice for a year just to get into hockey. And then I finally got into it. And then I was a Pittsburgh Penguins fan originally as a kid. My first ever game I watched on TV was Pittsburgh-Vancouver. And that's how I got into it, basically.
And you're now with the Greek national team?
I was with the Greek Heritage team, which was a team that the Greek national team was inactive for 10 years. We kind of brought it back to life. And then for the Greek national team, I did not play with them at the current tournament that happened. But
and you've been, I was checking your EP.
Yeah.
Man, you've been on six teams this season? Is it just a world traveling? Are you're just vlogging? Is that like the vlogging times hockey at the same time?
So my goal is basically to play hockey in every single country imaginable and to kind of broadcast out of my page. So I played in Armenia, very good hockey country, a lot of like Russians there as well, which has made it competitive hockey. I played in Greece, you know. I'm going to play in Mexico next week, which will be cool. And then next season, I'm trying to go more into Europe as well. I'm looking into Finland and Czech at the moment, but my goal is to play everywhere. Like I've even been in contact with like, a North Korean tour group to see if I could get on the ice in North Korea, man. Like it's a big thing for me. I want to play everywhere possible and just broadcast it.
Call you Sillinger. You're the next. You're the worldwide Sillinger. Hey, yes. So in Jerusalem Capitals was one of the teams, and that was they play in the IEHL. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what was that like to be there? Was it just in that region during this tumultuous time?
So I haven't played there yet. Their season is a summer league, actually. That's how they do their season because that's how they bring in imports to go play in their league. So I haven't played there yet. I'm planning on, you know, potentially going there. I'm on the roster because I'm also the general manager of the team. So I'm planning on going there, but also at the same time, I don't know yet about, you know, multitude of things. But I am on the roster for now. So I'm planning on it, but we'll see.
And Panos, do you even sleep? I mean, You got to just bust out these posts and you're playing on the side and traveling to getting the rewards miles, the rewards points going on here. Hey, let's talk Puck Empire. It's my favorite account and it's not even close. Look, you break the major news quicker than anybody. It's clean. It's the point. You have the credit there. It checks off all the boxes for me. You know, what's with you seemingly call out, I guess you could say, fans when they kind of, maybe first example that happened recently comes to mind. You posted about the KHL champions, and then someone went after you because, you know, not to really post about Russia. That was the point of view you come from. Just elaborate on kind of your style. And I think it's unique. And I don't see other accounts do it where if someone bashes you in the DMs or whatever, you just blast it out and say no. And, you know, kind of let the public, because you don't really comment on those either, do you?
No, I kind of just leave the caption blank.
That's really cool. And it just, it's really, I mean, it's rational. It's like, hey, like, it can't just be me that thinks this person in particular's fan is crazy, right? So I really admire that. I mean, what's inspired you to do that kind of stuff?
So before I had the page, I would kind of notice a lot of like the big hockey pages are kind of monotone, robotic. Like they don't give opinions. They don't really act as a human. They act as like a corporation or a business or behind their page. For me, I want to be personable. That's why I let like everybody call me by my first name on the page. I connect it to my personal account, everything like that. Cause I feel like if you're following someone and you actually, to get a follower base that actually enjoys your content, interacts, is engagement, you have to be personable about it. You know, you have to talk with your followers, engage with your followers. And when I post stuff like that, you know, it's just a joke as well. I always end up archiving it. It's not like I'm trying to ruin this person's life and you know, all that. It's just jokes, man. Like, I've been called out for bad takes in the past as well. Bad stuff. It happens to everybody on the internet nowadays, you know?
And part of the whole breaking news aspect going to that, do you have relationships with Frank Saravalli or Elliot Friedman to kind of make the breaking news or help you make that?
So I do. If Elliot follows me, I believe he used to. I hope he still does. He was, you know, my idol growing up for what I was trying to do in the hockey world. Yeah, honestly, I don't have too many connections. I've talked to like David Pagnotta as well before. But a lot of the insiders I follow personally on Twitter, that's the thing with my page, is I never claim to be an insider. I claim to be like the news source that says what the insiders are saying. You know what I mean? I've got a couple inside sources, but mainly it's that type of stuff. So I follow a ton of them on Twitter. My notifications are going off all day, every day, because I follow probably 200 different hockey people on Twitter with post notifications on to get the news as fast as possible.
Well, that's awesome. What are your favorite parts about having a huge presence as a creator and a content just producer on the gram, anything related to hockey? I mean, what's your favorite part about the biz?
So there's two things. The first thing is being able to talk about hockey basically at any point of the day. I can talk about hockey with, you know, and there's going to be people who are talking back about it. That's just such a sick experience. You can post literally anything and there's going to be a conversation about it, which I love. I could talk about hockey 24/7. And then the second part is the, you know, the experiences it's brought me. Like, realistically, if I didn't have Puck Empire, I probably wouldn't have never gone to Armenia in my life. But it allowed me to go to Armenia, and it's allowed me to go to many more countries, which I want to travel to every country on the planet. So for me, that's also another sick experience.
That's awesome. And what are some of the downsides? I mean, are there any downsides?
There are a couple, but like, for me to be able to post on Instagram hockey for a living, I don't want to make it sound like it's a bad thing, but there are a couple. I mean, like, during game days, you know, I'm posting from 7 p.m. till 1 a.m. and I only have time to go like to the gym during the nighttime. So after that, I run to the gym for another hour, hour and a half, and then I'm going to bed by like 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m. So it's not always, you know, it's not always the best, but like I said, I have no complaints because I get to literally watch hockey for a living because of my amazing follower base. So
there's worse things you could be doing. Right, Panos? That's for darn sure. The Sports Ox app, available for download in the App Store. Tell us about it.
So that is run by Josh Healy, and I've been helping him out with that. Josh Healy, former Calgary Flames prospect, currently plays in the AHL. Great dude, amazing guy, honestly. He's given me such an opportunity with the Sports Ox to, you know, he's been my main sponsor for the past 2 years now, and I've been trying to help him as much as I can with in-app stuff, you know, with the promotion of it, everything like that. I personally think it's a great app. Kind of reminds me of, you know, Elite Prospects, but in an app version. It has basically everything there, you know, of every player. You can also grade coaches, you can grade agents that you've played for, all that stuff. I think it gives players a voice to be able to give their experiences with certain, you know, coaches. And I love it. And I love Josh. He's a great guy.
Good insight there. I still got to download it. So right after this, I'm 100% Hundo P going to go to the App Store and download it. Let's get to a few last things. Playoffs so far. What were the teams you picked to prevail coming out of round one? Where do you see some of the teams? I mean, who have you been impressed by? Who do you maybe see taking it all?
So my first round has gone kind of mediocre. I had Toronto win, and I don't know why I did. All year long, I was saying there's no chance Toronto wins a series. And then right before the playoffs, I'm like, you know what? I like their odds here. I'm going to pick them. And they've just completely collapsed.
Just a desperate play ends up nipping you, hey?
Yeah. I really have liked, Edmonton. I feel like, you know, their top six is chugging. You've got guys like Zach Hyman has 6 goals already. You know, McDavid is McDavid. Draisaitl is Draisaitl. So I've liked that. Colorado has been dominant as well against Winnipeg. So, I mean, if I had to pick a Stanley Cup final prediction as of today, I'd probably go with Edmonton against against Boston. Not gonna lie, Boston has impressed me. I underrated them, and I always underrate them, and then it always just comes to bite me in the butt. Not gonna lie,
I'm gonna wait one more round for my pick. I don't want to just throw. I haven't even thought about it, so I'm not even gonna make that desperate. You paid the price for making a desperation play. I'm not about to do it, but you heard it from Panos here. I had New York, of course, that went in the right direction for me. I had Carolina going in the right direction. Florida, I had them once again going in the right direction. I had Boston. The missing curfew guys, if I'm not mistaken, at least a few of them had Toronto over Boston. I just, you know, I it never gives me a good feeling. Toronto, the Boston, it hasn't worked out for them so many times before. I just had a feeling it wasn't going to again. It's going in that right direction. Dallas for me, that's a head scratcher. I know Vegas, you know, the cup, I get it, to having that cup pedigree, that's important, but I did not see this one. I had Dallas, you know, maybe going to game 6. I didn't predict in what games, but certainly had Dallas. You know, maybe they have a huge opportunity to come back, of course, but from where they're at early on, that's a head scratcher. I had Vancouver, that's going in the right direction. Had Edmonton. I had Winnipeg over Colorado. I really was hard on Winnipeg heading into the season. I didn't think that they were going to have the season that they did. So I just last ditch out, you know, hopped on the bandwagon. I'm paying the price. So anyway, lot to take in there. And last thing, Ducks fans tuning in right now, Ducks GM, Pat Verbeek just mentioned during his season end media availability, he wants to acquire a top 6 forward and a top 4 D. Just looking at it right here, here's a list of biggest unrestricted free agents in the summer's pool here at Panos. Steven Stamkos. I mean, we have Reinhart, Gensel, Henrik, Bertuzzi, Teravainen, Tarasenko, Marchessault. I mean, list goes on and on. Arvidsson, Tanev. Now, Pat did mention right-handed D. So, you know, this is Tanev on the market, Roenick on the market. I mean, if you were to pick one top 6 forward for the Ducks and one D on the back end, top 4 D, I mean, who in this summer's free agent pool for the Ducks listeners out there, Panos, what's your prediction? What do the Ducks need out of some of the mentioned, the names I just mentioned right there? Who could you see in a Ducks uniform next season?
So I think at forward, they should probably go with Jake Gensel. I mean, he's, in my opinion, of all the forwards on the market, he's definitely a top 2 forward on the UFA market. He's proven, you know, people have always said he needs Crosby, but he's gone to Carolina and he's still tearing it up. So I would go with him. And he also kind of fits the timeline because I don't think Anaheim is too far off of being able to make the playoffs and play more important games down the stretch of the season. So I would go with that. I think, you know, it'd be good fit for both teams, especially they've got guys like Cutter Gauthier, and, you know, they've got Mason McTavish and all those guys. I think Anaheim's in a great position for the future. And on defense, I don't know if he would be wanting to sign in Anaheim because, you know, it depends, I guess, on how his playoffs go and if he gets a cup here. Chris Tanev, I feel like he's, you know, one of the best defensive defensemen in the league. Like, this guy will eat pucks in the face for fun. Like, it's crazy. This guy's just such, and he's like a leader too, you know, like, this is a guy you want in your decor to win meaningful games. So, I mean, he's on the older side. He has injury problems, but I mean, this guy is just, he's a tank, you know? So that's who I would go with if I was Pat Verbeek.
I get it. Hey, and Steph, I'm going to ask my producer, did Pat mention it was right-handed D or left-handed D? We need right-handed. Yeah. Okay. So we're correct on that. I just wanted to double check. Steph, our producer, is never wrong. That's why I just turned to him to triple check that. And yeah, a couple other names. I'm going to start with the right-handed D. For me, just in the market right now, how about Brandon Montour, 30 years old? He only makes 3.5 mil, had 16 goals two seasons ago, and his point drop dramatically from two seasons ago to this past season. But if you can sign a guy like that, bring him back, sign him because of that dip in points to another 3.5, even if you paid him five, I mean, that would be a game changer. So for me, bargain, you get best bang for your buck. That would be a pick for me. And how about Marchessault on the front end? Look, he's coming off a career year in goals. He had 42 goals this past season. Look, I think the Ducks locker room could benefit off of a guy like that's present. It seemed like certainly his teammates really love him. And look the impact he did. Of course, Carlson, he was a 30-goal scorer. And then you had Eichel, 30-goal scorer. But, you know, besides that, huge drop-off in goals. Ducks need scoring. Marchessault, he's just and maybe 3-4 year contract. But if you can, once again, bang for your buck, five sheets, I don't think he's going to get more than that just because that he's at that age. But if you could even sign him for five, give him 3-4 more years. Hey, I think out of that group that makes most sense to me out of the list. So, hey, Panos, thanks for joining. Eat them up. Hopefully we can get you back on. I don't know if we're going to be able to. You're so busy. Keep crushing it, my dude. And once again, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, you're the man.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
Panos from Puck Empire. I mean, what a guy. Rational thinker. I love having rational thinkers on. You want to talk about rational thinking? Look, we have Terry Yake, former Anaheim Mighty Duck. And look, averaged about a half a point a game during his NHL career. Good stuff. Can't wait to talk. So let's give him a call. And we are joined by former Anaheim Mighty Duck, Terry Yake. Terry, thanks for joining us, and how are things?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you guys today?
Good. And look, Terry, let's get right into it. My last ever beer league game happened last week. What day was that last week, Terry?
Last Monday night.
And I had high expectations for myself, Terry. You knew how hard it was to get me out there in the first place. And I don't know. I'm ending my beer league career for a reason, based off my performance.
No. You're not done yet. The skill level was off the charts. The goal was nasty, like highlight reel ESPN stuff. You just got to get yourself back in a groove. I know the lungs probably burnt a little bit, but you'll be fine after a couple skates. Take a Sunday afternoon and get yourself in shape.
You heard that right. A goal. I registered one goal throughout the full. What is that? Because the periods are
14 minutes. No, 16 minutes. So they're 48 minute games.
48 minutes. So the full 48 minute tilt. Yeah, like Terry was saying, I was huffing and puffing out there. And I think your teammates were thinking, so it was the OC Farmers was the team.
Yep.
We had some chuckles in the locker room because Terry failed to mention what team it was. So when he sent me the text, it was OC Farmers versus what was the other team?
Social Sixers, I think. Social. You stepped into the wrong locker room.
The losers, the Social Sixers. Anyway, so I went to the opposing team locker room. Hey, has anyone seen Terry Yake? And I'll beat it. You're in the other, you're in locker room three. I'm like, all right, well, thanks, Terry. So anyway, I think the squad was thinking the whole time, is Edom, is he a benefit to this team, or is he like a non-factor, and he's a detriment. I think that's what the boys were thinking the whole time, and I felt it.
You were definitely a factor, but you know, you can't underestimate this league. It's actually pretty good hockey out here in California. There's a lot of guys that played junior and college, and the summertime league is even better because you get a lot of college kids home and junior kids home jumping into that league. So the level's pretty good for us old fellas. And, you know, when the lungs burn and the legs don't work really well, the brain starts to shut off and, you know, it makes it even harder for us. But you'll be just fine. You get yourself in shape and we'll have you out again.
And for the listeners out there, just to elaborate a little bit more, it was gold. What was the level?
Yeah, it's a gold level at Great Park.
Great Park, so beer top league, level. Top level, gold. It was my first game since the Violent Gentlemen skate at Westminster Ice. About 6 months ago, I was terrible. I scored a goal. Once again, we just mentioned one goal, and I think I was a dash for sure. I might have been on the ice for every goal. It was a shootout win. Luckily, I scored. That was one of the
were not your face-off percentage either. I will add that. I mean,
you had to bring it up.
Left and missed the shower.
What was I? I was probably 3-15.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, and, you know, anyway, Terry, last draw of the game in the defensive zone, asked, so he was playing D all game. He asked. He was gutless. He asked me, hey, you sure you got this, bud? So, anyway, thanks for that one, Terry. Anyway, hey, what's the deal with you playing D instead of forward? What's the deal with that?
I play wherever I'm needed. If we're short on defense, I generally jump back there and take it. And I've actually come to enjoy playing defense a little bit because, you know, at my age, the legs don't have the snap in them they used to. And it's hard to get by guys up front. And I kind of actually enjoy it back there. I never knew it was actually that easy to play defense. Now, you know, we don't have to go back for pucks with great big guys like you chasing us down, running us into the end boards like you would have in competitive hockey. But beyond that, you keep the play in front of you. And when you get it, you just get your head up and look for players open. And, you know, I find it just as enjoyable. I don't shoot an awful lot. I'd rather see somebody else score and get an assist than score a goal. So defense kind of fits all those parameters for me.
Your stretch passes were pretty money, Terry. And sorry that those pucks were just exploding off my stick. I don't know. I don't know what got into me. The thing that really disappointed me about the game is there was probably two guys shadowing me, following me everywhere I went. And then when I did get the puck, there was three guys just hounding it. I lost so many 50-50 battles. It was 3-on-1. And I did not appreciate that.
That's exactly what the live barn is going to show too. When we pull that thing up, it's going to show that you basically had the old Mario shadow. And it was a tough night for you if with that going on.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Now you can't hide. Now with live barn, these games, like you have a poor performance, everyone can go out within the past 30 days and view it.
Yeah, exactly.
So word spreads around here. And I know after this one, people are going to be taking a look, and I'm not too happy about it, but 52 points in 82 games in your lone season there, Terry. Good stuff. You stayed in Cali post career. What have been some, just with the game growing here in SoCal, besides players retiring here, what in your mind, as you just, you've seen the landscape, what in your mind has been other keys to the growth of hockey just in recent years here in Southern California?
Well, it starts first of all with ice, in my opinion. You got to have enough ice to get the kids on. And despite the fact that they've built four buildings there at Great Park, and there's two at Anaheim Ice, and there seems to be a lot of ice in the area, there's still a shortage of ice. I mean, there's just that many kids that want to play hockey. I mean, there are obviously a lot of people here, and the more we can get kids in love with the game, the more they're going to stay with it. I mean, you and I probably have the same opinion. I mean, I believe it's the best sport in the world. And I think if kids play it, they're going to want to play it, and you need ice to do that. So building more rinks has definitely been an advantage. When we came here, KHS Ice, I don't remember what it was called, was one of the only other ice surfaces. It was our practice rink when we didn't have time at Arrowhead Pond, or now the Honda Center, the first season. And they had to build a practice facility, which was, I think, is now Anaheim Ice. they had to build that very quickly. So things have developed an awful lot around here. And then the advent of having some experienced guys stick around, coach their kids. A few kids finally start making it. They come back, they have kids, and then they coach as well. And then generationally, I think the hockey knowledge starts to improve and trickle down into the younger kids. And here we're going to see some really good players come out of Southern California real soon.
Ice availability. Look, Terry, that's why I asked you. I can always count on you for a good rational answer. Hey,
boring,
but just gets the job done. Look, ice availability. Love it. And glad I asked. Hey, thoughts on playoffs so far? First round. We already have one sweep in the books, Rangers and of course, Carolina. Rangers and Capitals. And that one, just four in a row. Boom. Rangers, Blue Shirts, maybe their fans predicted it. That much of a sweep. Well, I mean, besides that series, most coming to a conclusion. What are your thoughts on just this first round so far? And based off of what you've seen, who do you see just maybe taking it all?
Well, I think the first round is sometimes the most fun because you get these crazy ups and downs and these swings in momentum. And we saw that last night with Nashville being up 3-1 with 2.5 minutes, looking like they're going back to Vancouver 2-2. And literally 20 minutes later, they give up two goals in the last 2 minutes, and then they lose 1 minute into overtime. And suddenly they're breathing their last lives again, going back to Vancouver down 3-1. That's what really makes this exciting. But you know, I think that series has been a defensive battle. That hockey's been a little less entertaining to watch. The Edmonton LA series has been unbelievable. What a series that has been! Multiple goals in the first couple, and then a 1-0 hunker down. Goaltenders playing unbelievable last night. I think that's been rather entertaining. Not surprised about Washington getting swept in three. Kind of thought Carolina might take out the Islanders and straight away as well. But the Boston-Toronto series, a little bit of a surprise. I thought Toronto would put up a little better fight than that. I think they're going to be done in five. And, you know, going back home, probably Florida is going to take out Tampa Bay as well. So it's going to make for an interesting next round. You're going to have probably Colorado, who I actually predicted the Jets to take out Colorado, but doesn't look like that's going to happen either. So, you know, Colorado, Dallas, Vegas, that one's still alive. That one can still go a distance. Then Edmonton, Vancouver, potentially it could be, it's going to be a really fun second round.
Yeah. And I had the Jets over the Avs too. I just didn't think that the Jets were going to have that great of a season. And I had to go with them based off of me being a doubter, and that has not worked out. And another one, Dallas. I mean, who would have thought Vegas would have given this much of a test here early on? I mean that's a head scratcher for me. For Dallas, besides the goaltending, is just built for playoffs. You got size, speed. You got Pavelski's doing what he's doing still at 40. So I mean, they got a team that's deep and just built to win. So it just it really is a head scratcher that series has been so difficult. And it just goes to show, I mean, that cup pedigree for a lot of those guys on the Vegas Golden Knights, it proves how important that is. Hey, Terry, we'll end on this. Second annual Ducks Alumni Golf Classic at Pelican Hill, Thursday, May 9th. That's next week, of course. Where does Pelican rank in your favorite courses?
Wow, it's right up there. It's probably the best course, scenic-wise, that you can play. I don't know that there's a better one. The one course, you can see the ocean on every single hole, and the other one is just a tremendous layout, and you go right down by the water for two or three holes. One of my favorite places in the world. There's nowhere more relaxing to play. It feels a little bit like, you know, Pebble Beach must feel. I don't know Pebble Beach yet, but, you know, to be that close to the water, have a beautiful golf course that's always in tremendous condition. It's worth the price, and hope fans come out and enjoy an afternoon with the alumni, some great stories, great round of golf, and a lot of good fun prizes, and meet a bunch of the guys and go over the history of the Ducks and have a good afternoon with us out there in early May.
For sure. And the event benefits, the merging vets and players. I look forward to driving the cart around because I just, my golf game, it just, I hit a couple off the tee first two, three holes. I'm like, boys, I'm just going to drive the cart. Like, I'm such a negative factor on any team I'm paired with. And look, I'm good with the DJ. I'm good with the music, playing the right music in the cart, and I'm great at driving. And I cheer the boys on. That's pretty much what I do. And I think that's important. I think that moral boost of me getting the boys going before a drive, I think that's huge. So I stick to what I'm good at. Not a whole lot of golf for me. A lot of positivity getting the boys going. How's your golf game been recently, Terry?
So your golf game's a little bit like your face-off percentage right now. It's just a brutal. Little behind.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Just a tad.
But you know what? We bring you back. We're going to bring you back because you're a locker room guy and you're an inspiration on the bench either way. So
I think, just hold that thought. I think as much as I want to have a bounce back game, the fact that it was such a poor performance that I have this feeling it actually can go even further south the next game, it just haunts me. It just haunts me.
Yeah, well, we'll have you out again for sure. And my golf game is pretty decent right now. There are parts of it I would like to work on, but time always gets in the way, and there's always more important things to do, including right now I'm coaching a AAA group of 14-year-old kids out of KHS. So I got, that takes a lot of time up, and sometimes you got to have priorities and opportunity to give back to the game and show these kids some of the things that we got to learn over the years is more important than me working on my putter.
Hey, you had, I don't know if it was a positive just thought or a negative one on the Masters. Did you enjoy the Masters or not? We were talking about it not too long ago, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching Scottie Scheffler like control his emotions and play the way he did and under pressure and all that. But I don't like the changes to the golf course. They're making everything too long. The par five, I think it's like 12 or 13 after Amen Corner, where everybody goes for it in two, you would see as many double bogeys or bogeys as you would eagles. And they've taken that out of play. And to me, it's silly. They just continue, they being the PGA or the whoever decides on how to set the golf course up, continue to make the courses more and more difficult. And I don't care, like, let them shoot 20 under. What difference does it make? Let them shoot 20 under. If they're capable, let them do it. Stop ruining these golf courses. They're making everything a three-shot hole. It's something that most of us can't relate to. You got to hit it 350 yards and then hit a three wood into a par five. It's just silliness. Let them have a chance. You got the water there. It's always been the great equalizer, balls rolling into the water, and it was always fun to watch, see who would melt down and who would make the right decision.
You heard it. Terry says, stop changing the course, so stop changing it. And I'm with exactly. Terry. I'm with Terry. And you know what? Is the belly putters, is that what they call it? The belly putters?
Yeah.
That needs to be out of golf. That is the worst style. Do you think that's the worst style in any sport?
Yeah, I need it to fix my putting, but I refuse to go to it just because of it looks awkward. So there's a halfway in between the Ricky Fowler where he's got a long putter and he just grips it halfway down the shaft. I might go to that someday, but I don't know. Like, you can't, to me, I don't want the putter up by my chin. That's not any fun. So I don't know. The rules of golf, the PGA and the Royal Golf Association from England there, they got all these rules on equipment and stuff, but I guess eventually they're going to have to tone down. I don't know how they can continue to make balls go further, drivers hit things further. I understand why they got to lengthen the golf courses, but it's just not practical for the average player to really be able to do all that. Only the tour players are doing that. So let them shoot the big numbers and separate themselves from the numbers that you and I would shoot if we went out.
Well, I don't watch a whole lot of golf. I don't golf a whole lot, but I'm calling it right there. The belly putter, the worst style, and I think all of sports. So anyway, Terry, thanks for joining Eat 'Em Up. I look forward to having you back.
Pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, talk soon. Wow. Great combos with Puck Empires, Blitz Empires, of course, the collab we heard and the Sports Aux app. What isn't Panos doing? He's doing a lot of great things in the game of hockey, and us hockey fans can appreciate a guy like Panos. So thanks to him for hopping on. Of course, Terry Yake, just the best. Love my combos with my good buddy Terry, and I will not be taking him up on any more beer league tilts. That was it for me. I am officially done. It could go even more south, as I mentioned. So we're all clear. Terry, don't ask again. Thanks for listening to another epi of Eat 'Em Up. See you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.